إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أخرج الإمام مسلم بسنده عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا خطب احمرت عيناه وعلى صوته واشتد غضبه كأنه منذر جيش، يقول: صبحكم ومساكم. جابر ابن عبد الله said in authentic خبر أثر عن him that's been collected by Imam Muslim describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he used to perform on the day of Al-Jum'ah. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, gave a khutbah, his eyes would become red and his voice would raise and his anger would become more intense, as if he was warning the people of an army that was about to pounce upon them. Like the one who says to his people when the army comes, the army is about to get you in the morning, or the army is about to destroy you at night. This athar and Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, it shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Jum'ah day, he used to talk in a way to try to help the believers to become motivated about their Islam, to become motivated about the issue that he was discussing at hand. He would become angry and his voice would raise in an attempt to agitate the believers, so that the person whose heart is dead will become alive, so that the person who is jahil or he's sleeping, he would wake up and realize the importance of whatever he was talking about. During the course of the week, the believer is being bombarded by a shaitan and everything that is counterproductive as he goes about his life. He comes to the masjid one day for the Jummah to hear the khutbah in the hope that it will raise his iman, so that he will be able to fight the shaitan until the next week. This goes for the man and the woman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise his voice. His eyes became red. He used to become angry. So that shows, brothers and sisters, one of the benefits of the khutbah. One of the benefits of why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to address the people the way he did. His khutbah also was a place where he used to take the time out to educate the Muslims about their deen, about the affairs of the religion. The companion Abu Rifa'a radiallahu anhu said in an authentic statement that's been collected by Imam Muslim, دخلت المسجد فانتهيت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يخطب، فقلت يا رسول الله رجل غريب جاء يسأل عن دينه لا يدري كيف أمور دينه. Abu Rifa'a said, proving that the khutbah is for education. He said, one time I came to the masjid and I entered on the Friday and Rasulullah was on the minbar giving the khutbah. So I interrupted the khutbah and I said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a stranger. I'm not from Al-Madinah. I'm from the desert and I've come because I don't know my religion. Can you teach me my religion? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got off of the minbar. A chair was brought to him. He started to teach the man the religion. And then he got back on the minbar and resumed his khutbah. He saw one time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the companions fell asleep in the khutbah. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in teaching him and teaching others, in teaching us, إِذَا نَعِسَ أَهَدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَحَوَّلْ وَيُغَيِّرْ مَكَانَهُ. If one of you starts to doze off, then get up and change your position. Teach the Muslims their religion. There is a tremendous companion who's from the women, so that the women of our community don't think that they're not responsible, so that they don't think that they've been left behind and left out. Hakunya is Ummu Hisham bintu Haritha radiallahu anha qalat ma akhaftu qaf wal Qur'an al Majid illa an lisani Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كان يقرأها كل جمعة على المنبر. In Sahih Muslim, this lady said, the surah, Qaf wal Quran al Majid, the long surah. She said, I did not memorize that surah except that I learned it from the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the Jummah prayer because he used to always read it on the minbar. So that hadith shows us, ikhwan, how keen the lady was to listen to Rasulullah, to learn the deen. I don't think in our neighborhood that there are two women who memorize Surah Qaf. I don't think if you took our neighborhood, Skipton, Shipley, and Bradford, that there are five women from the Muslims who memorize Surah Qaf. This lady memorized it from solely being in the masjid, which is a proof that the women can come to the masjid. They could come for Salatul Jummah. So that lady, radiallahu anha, learned her deen, learned that surah, not from opening the mushaf, from listening to Rasulullah recite it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the minbar. So it goes to show, ikhwan, the seriousness of how the companions used to look at their deen. The seriousness of how they used to pay attention on Yawm al-Jummah. How they would make it their business to learn the deen, to learn the sunnah, to learn the Qur'an. Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. To show that this is not a one-offer, something that's distinct to Hisham radiallahu anhu, anha. Al-Imam Muslim brought the narration of that tremendous companion, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. The one who, when Rasulullah made his hijrah from Mecca to Medina, he lived with Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Rasulullah was on the bottom floor, and Abu Ayyub and his family were on the top floor. And they used to walk around the perimeters of the house out of fear that the Quran would be revealed, and they would disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respect and love for the sunnah. Exalting al-Islam. People of hadith. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard that there was another companion, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, who was living in Egypt. He heard that Uqba knew a hadith that he didn't know. The man got on his camel and he rode all the way to Egypt. And he said, I heard that you know a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I never heard of. Can you tell me? He said, which one? He said, the one about covering up the believer. Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu qal, inni samitu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, لا يستر عبد عبد في الدنيا إلا ستره الله يوم القيامة. There is never a slave who knows something evil about another Muslim, knows something about his aura, knows something about what he's doing, except he covers it in the dunya, and Allah will cover it for him yawm al-qiyamah. After taking the hadith, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari got back on his camel and rode back to Medina. He could have remained in Egypt to be supported by the people. But he only went that long distance and only to take the knowledge of one hadith. One hadith. It's still not a one offer or a two offer. We have the situation with Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari in a number of places. Jabir ibn Abdullah heard that there was another companion by the name of Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu, that he knew a hadith that Jabir didn't know. Jabir was from the ulama of the companions, from the six people who memorized the most hadith. He was from amongst them. He was up there with Abu Huraira, with Abdullah ibn Umar, with Abdullah ibn Zubair. He was up there with Aisha and Anas ibn Malik. He was up there with Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He was the number six one who knew all of the hadith, more than anyone else. But this one hadith he didn't hear. So he went and he purchased a new camel. One that would ensure he's going to get to his place. And he went all the way to Sham. He said that the trip cost him a month's journey. Some of you came back from Mecca and Medina recently. And you know how it is when you go out into the heat. How it's suffocating. The man rode a camel for one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he got there, he told him, I heard you have a hadith. What is it? Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu anhu said, I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يُحْشَرُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى النَّاسِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْمَعَ بِيَدِهِ إِلَى الشَّامِ قُرَاتٍ قُرْلٍ بُهْمًا فَيُنَادِيهِمْ بِصَوْتٍ يَسْمَعُهُ مَنْ بَعُدَ كَمَا يَسْمَعُهُ مَنْ قَرُبَ فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَا الْمَالِكُ أَنَا الدَّيَّانُ. He said, I heard Rasulullah say, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will raise the people up, barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised, with nothing. And then he raised his hand pointing towards Sham. And then Allah will call out to the creation, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he will say to them, I am the king, I am a dayan. The man got back on his camel and went back to Medina. So, Ikhwani, the point from all of this is, the Muslims were keen to learn their religion. They took the hadith of Rasulullah seriously. They took the deen seriously. But they took the sunnah and the hadith specifically seriously. And for that reason, the Prophet described them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he described everyone who wants to be upon their way. In an authentic hadith, collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of many companions, Thawban, Al-Mughir ibn Shoba, Abu Huraira, Muawiyah, so many companions, Qad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورا لا يدره من خالفهم ولا من خذرهم حتى يأتي أمرهم أمر الله وهم على ذلك. Rasulullah described these people when he said, there will not cease to be a group of people from my ummah who will be upon the truth victorious. It will not harm them, those people who are against them. It will not harm them, those people who forsake them. Those people who are supposed to be Muslims, but they forsake them. They don't want to be with them. They will remain like that, victorious, until the affair of Allah comes, Yawm al-Qiyamah. The ulama call this group of people based upon this hadith, the Firqat al-Najiyah. The Ta'ifa Mansura, because that's what Rasulullah called them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point of all of this is now, here, what I'm about to say to you right now. The Firqat al-Najiyah. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورة وفرقة منصورة. الإمام عبد الله ابن المبارك, he is known as أمير المؤمنين في الحديث. The highest that a man can go in hadith in Islam is to be called أمير المؤمنين في الحديث. It's only about 10 of them in the dunya from the past. You know Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, he's called Al-Hafiz, Al-Imam. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, he's called Al-Imam, Al-Faqih. But they're not Amir al-Mu'mineen fi al-Hadith, only 10 or 12 ulama. From them, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak said about this hadith that we mentioned, the Firqat al-Najiyah, that they will remain a group of people victorious. He said, from Ashab al-Hadith. He said that those people Rasulullah is talking about are Ashab al-Hadith. Al-Imam Ahmed, another scholar who is described as Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, the second one. He said about the Hadith, إِن لَمْ تَكُنْ أَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَسْتُ أَدْرِي مَنْهُمْ. He said, if أَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ are not the Firqat al-Najiyah that Rasulullah was talking about, I don't know who they are. Al-Imam Ali al-Madini, Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Hadith, he said, هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْلُ الْحَدِيثِ. He said, those people being described are Ahlul Hadith. Now my question to you brothers is this. This is a masjid that connects itself to Hadith, and it calls itself Ahlul Hadith. Some of you were born members of Ahlul Hadith. Some of you claim with your tongue, I'm from Ahlul Hadith. People hate you because they think you're Ahlul Hadith. But those imams that we mentioned, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam Ali al-Madini, when he described the people in that hadith, was Rasulullah referring to us? The Firqat al-Najiyah, us, the people who connect themselves to Ahlul Hadith, but the man doesn't read the hadith. He eats with his left hand because he doesn't read the hadith. On the day of the Jummah, he doesn't try to come to the masjid early like the people of hadith used to do. But what Rasulullah's hadith is telling us is, hurry up and come to the masjid and pray as many raka'at as you can possibly pray on the day of Jummah. No, the people of Ahlul Hadith today, they come 5, 10, 15 minutes after the Jummah every single week because they don't have the fikr of Ahlul Hadith. The woman, she's connected to Ahlul Hadith. Her mother, her father, she's born on it, she's in it. But she doesn't dress like the people of Hadith. So it is not enough, Ikhwan, to just say with your lips, I'm a Muslim, not to mention to say and to connect yourself to the Hadith. There has to be the fragrance of the Hadith in your behavior, in your home, the way you look. There are people from Ahlul Hadith of latter times who made some tremendous sacrifices for Al-Islam. There's a scholar, contemporary who has died, by the name of Al-Shaykh Al-Allama Badiyaddin ibn Rashid Al-Sindi, rahimahullah. He used to take all of that time to go out to teach the hadith, encourage the young people, learn the hadith, memorize 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. Read about your religion. And now we come today, and Al-Islam is easy. Take it how you want to take it. Leave what you want to leave. How can you be Ahlul Hadith when the person comes and gives you the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you push it away with your intellect? You push it away with your intellect like that kafir who Rasulullah told them there is Yawmul Qiyamah. You people are going to die and you're going to be raised up. The kuffar, they were sure that that kalam came from Rasulullah. They had no doubt, as we have no doubt. That kalam is from Rasulullah. They heard him, they saw him. Yawm al-Qiyamah. They had no doubt that that hadith was authentic. But they pushed it away with their intellect, with their mind. So the man went and he picked up a bone. And Allah mentioned his situation when he said, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيَ الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ الرَّمِيمِ. And he gave us an example. He said, who's going to give life to the bones after they have become crumbled like this? That's what the kafir did. When he heard the hadith, he used his mind and he pushed it away. The man from Ahlul Hadith today, he's told something from the hadith, he uses his mind. He has no doubt about its authenticity, but he says, yes, but the socks of that time are different from the socks of this time. Yes, but they weren't working that time, so we have to work, so I have to come late. He pushes it away with his mind. But he claims, I'm a Muslim. I'm from Ahlul Hadith. Wallahi, Ikhwan, we are no different from those people who curse the companion. Those people who hate Aisha, Abu Bakr and Umar and the rest of the companion. Allah told them in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they're pleased with Allah. Rasulullah said about them, la tusubbu ashabi, don't curse my companions. Those people, even though the hadith came to them, even though the ayah came to them, they push them away. Just like us. No difference from the people who call themselves the Quraniyun. The Quraniyun. He says to you, hey, Rasulullah said, do this, do that. He says, I take the Quran and I don't take the Sunnah. I only take the Quran. I don't take the Sunnah. I don't take the Hadith. But Allah said in the Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالُوا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنكَ صُدُودًا. We only take the hadith of the Quran. So brothers and sisters in Islam, do not be like that Muslim who is not practicing his deen. But because his name is Abdullah ibn Muhammad Aslam. Abdullah Muhammad Aslam is his name. Because that's his name, when he travels, the kuffar oppress him. He's not practicing his religion, but the kuffar hate him because he's a Muslim. He has a Muslim name. Don't be like those people, you young brothers from Ahlul Hadith. Quran! Don't be like those people. You say you're from Ahlul Hadith, people hate you because you're from Ahlul Hadith, but you're not even holding on to the Hadith. You're not even holding on to the Hadith. Some people may sit there and they may say, this is a khutbah about being from the Jam'iyyah, the Jama'at, Ahlul Hadith. La wallahi. Don't be from any Jam'iyyah. Allah won't ask you that Yawm al-Qiyamah. He won't ask you about your madhhab. This is not about a Jam'iyyah or a Jama'at. This is about a fikr. Be from Ahlul Hadith, the people who take the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that goes to our women as well. Don't let a woman sit downstairs and think this is not connected to her. When you come outside to hang up your clothes, put your full hijab on like the women of Hadith. That's what the Hadith told you to do. When you pray, pray according to the Hadith. Respect and obey your husband according to the Hadith. Raise your daughters and your sons according to the Hadith. So this is not about a Jam'iyyah or a Jama'ah. This is about the efforts that people have made. There's a Sheikh, Ikhwan, graduated from the University of Medina, and he came to this country and forsook his country for a da'wah in Allah. His name is Mahmoud Ahmed Mirpuri. Allah yarhamahu. The man lost his life going to another country, giving da'wah in al-hadith with his mother-in-law and his wife and his children. And he gets hit by a lorry on the car in the street. Sacrifice for Islam, for the hadith, for the sunnah. And here we come today, and we can't pray Salatul Fajr. People built masajid across this country. And we can't be unlike, we can't, we have to be Muslim. What is that? What is that, Ahlul Hadith? People hate us, and we're not even holding on to our religion. It doesn't make sense. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, you young brothers, لا يتكين أحدكم على أريكته. يأتيه أمر مما أمرت به أو نهيت عنه فيقول ما وجدنا في كتاب الله أخذناه. Do not let any of you people, your Rasul, ya Ahl al-Islam, you people who love Muhammad, your Rasul said to you, do not let any one of you recline on your couch, on your settee at home. Don't let anyone recline comfortably on his couch. And then something from the hadith that I ordered you to do, or I prevented you from doing, it comes to you and you say, La, what I find in the Quran, I'll take it. Everything else, I'll leave it. Don't be like that person. So with that being the case, Ikhwan, I want to deal with two issues from this minbar today. Two issues, inshallah, and I may go over by 1 minute. Or when it hits 2 o'clock, I'm stopping. We'll do it after the salat, inshallah. We don't want to keep you longer anymore. The first issue, Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in this hadith that I'm sharing with you, and I'm teaching you from this minbar. He said in this hadith, on the authority of Abu Qatada, it's in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Here are the books for anyone who wants to ask after the khutbah. I'll show you. Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Two issues, Ahl al-Hadith. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدَكُمَ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. If any of you enters into the masjid, then don't sit down until you pray 2 rak'ah. Almost everyone who came into this masjid sat down. Almost everyone, when we go into this masjid at any time, we sit down without praying the 2 rak'ah. And we've been saying for 4, 5, 6 months, Ikhwan, this is from the hukuk of the masjid on you. If anyone comes into the masjid of Al-Islam, here, in Medina, down the street, in Bradford, in Birmingham, in London, in Pakistan, in Kashmir, in Africa, if you enter into the masjid, don't sit down until you pray 2 rak'ah. There was a companion who came in, his name is Sulayk al-Ghatafan, radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah was given the khutbah. The khutbah is there to teach the people their deen, to make them excited about Iman and to teach. He sat down. He came and he sat down. Rasulullah said to him, Ya Sulayk, asallayta rak'atayn? Did you pray 2 rak'ahs, Ya Sulayk? Sulayk said, no. He said, qum fa salliha wa tajawwaz fihima. Stand up and pray them and hurry up and pray them quickly. Sulayk got up and prayed. Sulayk didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, did Allah tell you to tell me that in the Quran? Ya Rasulullah, is that kalam in the book of my madhab? Ya Rasulullah, did my father know about that? My people do that? He didn't do that. He got right up and he prayed. So if you came into the masjid today without praying, you should be like Sulayk now and get up and forget the people. Pray 2 rak'ahs as Sulayk got up and he prayed. So you have to pray 2 rak'ahs whenever you come into the masjid. As for the time that the sun is coming up, the time that the sun is at its zenith, the time that the sun is setting, if you have a question about that, we'll deal with that fifth issue after the khutbah, inshallah. The second point, Ahlul Hadith. Ahlul Hadith. And we're not holding on to the hadith of Rasulullah. The Prophet told us, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. إذا صلى أحدكم فليأخذ سترة وليدن منها ولا يأذن أحد أن يمر أمامه فمن أبى فقاتله فإنه شيطان. If any of you pray, then take a sutra. Take something to be in front of you and the other people. And don't let anyone, he said, walk between you and your sutra. And if someone insists on walking in front of you and your sutra, stop him because he's a shaitan. And Rasulullah said, فَقَاتِلْ هِمْ فَمَا الْقِتَالِ. Doesn't mean to kill him, but stop him vigorously. The ulama of Islam said, if you knock him down and he hits his head, knocks his eye out, the person who stopped him does not pay any diyah. Why? Because he has a hadith that allowed him to do that. Just like the one who comes to your house, if he looks through your peephole, he looks through the hole, and you poke his eye out, you don't have to pay any money for his eye, because you have a hadith telling you if you see that being done, poke the person's eye out. So if anyone prays, let him take a sutra. So he ordered you to take a sutra. In the other hadith, ikhwan, in the other hadith, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يسلين أهدكم إلا إلى سترة. Do not let anyone pray. Don't pray your salat except when you have a sutra. So if you're praying by yourself, brothers and sisters in Islam, you have to take a sutra. Those are two issues that we can start off with as it relates to hearing Rasulullah's statement and practicing them. He described the believers in the Quran, إِنَّمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمُوا بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Verily the statement of the believers when they are called to the Quran and the Sunnah to judge in the affairs, they say, we hear, we obey. Whenever you come into the masjid, pray two rakats. Whenever you pray by yourself, pray with a sutra. The last thing that I want to say, ikhwan, is what Rasulullah did when he made the Hajjat al-Wada' sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew that he was going to die, so he gathered all of the companions and he told the people, "Iskutu, iskutu," be quiet. But it was so many people that they kept talking. So he told some of the people, make the people quiet. So the people became quiet. Rasulullah said to them, "Hal balaghtu?" Did I tell you people that I relay the message of Islam from the time of Mecca all the way to the end of Medina when he made Hajj? He asked them, did I tell you people about your responsibility? What the father, the mother, the child, the Muslim needs to know? Have I made the balagh? They said, yes, yes, you did. He took his finger and he pointed to the sky because Allah is over his arsh. And he said, Allahumma ashhad. Allahumma ashhad. Allahumma ashhad. Oh Allah, bear witness. Oh Allah, bear witness. Oh Allah, bear witness that I told them what they needed to know about this issue. So that they won't come yawm al-qiyam and say, wallahi, I didn't know about that. And then someone who's teaching, the khatib, he's partly responsible for it. So Allah, bear witness. As it relates to these two issues, but the khutbah is not about these two issues. The khutbah is about taking that Quran and all of the sunnah to the best of our ability. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله تبارك وتعالى لي ولكم وإن نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعفو عنا أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وأن يفتح لنا أبواب رحمة ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضاه وأن لا يجعلنا من الذين يقولون ما لا يفعلون هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا أقم الصلاة يرحمكم الله.